Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Church of Jesus Christ Study Session with Come Follow Me. I'm your host Matthew Roberts and this is Season 6, Episode 30 of this Daily Study Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us once again today and apologies for the delay or the, well, not the delay, the lack of episode for the last month or so. A number of reasons why that has happened over that time. One of the weeks I was away on residential with my with one of the classes at my school. The week or two leading up to that, had some late nights and was struggling to kind of find the time to record. And then, of course, I got out of the habits after those couple of weeks, and so didn't do it for another week or two. It's just been a very long, very difficult week, month with work, and so we're finishing this week. Just got one more day after today, and so trying to get back into the habits, as it were, to record. So now is as good a time as any. We're looking this week at the Come and Follow Me materials in Alma chapters 32 to 35, covering the week of July the 22nd to the 28th. And with this, we start with Alma. Alma the Younger, who is teaching the Zoramites with his group of missionaries. The Zoramites, who, of course, have the Ramayumptum and believe that, not in Christ, but believe that God has already saved them, that they are a special people that don't need to do anything, and that no one else will be saved. And yeah, just a number of things which they believe which are not the case. And so Alma begins his teaching amongst them, and he finds some difficulty to begin with. And so they begin teaching the people, and they start, and they have some troubles. In verse 3 it says about how therefore they were not permitted, this is actually not talking about Alma, it's talking about the people who do listen to Alma, but he's teaching them, and the group of people who are poor and not permitted to enter the synagogues. In verse 3 it says, therefore they were not permitted to enter into their synagogues to worship God, being esteemed as filthiness. Therefore they were poor, yea, they were esteemed by their brethren as dross. Therefore they were poor as to things of the world, and they were also poor in heart. And this poor in heart is an interesting one. In verse 4 it says, as Alma was teaching and speaking unto the people upon the hill Onada, there came a great multitude unto him, who were those of whom we have been speaking, of whom were poor in heart, because of their poverty as to the things of the world. And they ask Alma, what are they to do, given that they are not able to go into the synagogues, into the places of worship in that land, and to worship God. And in verse 6 it says, and now when Alma hears this, he turned him about his face immediately towards them, and he beheld with great joy, for he beheld that their afflictions had truly humbled them, and that they were in a preparation to hear the word. Now, of course, I'm sure that Alma is not delighted that these people have suffered so much, that they've felt that they are in that situation and felt those afflictions. I'm sure he's not pleased that they've had to go through afflictions. What he's pleased about is that they have ground prepared to receive the seed. And this relates a lot to the parable of the sower. You think about how Alma is teaching the people at the moment, and it's probably falling upon this hard ground or even the stone where the seed is not being received. But then he sees this group of people who are prepared. Adoniel A. Maxwell said, quote, building faith is often preceded by shaping circumstances, benefiting those who are in preparation to hear the word. These beginnings require at least a desire to believe, and then comes the exercising of a particle of faith. As we give place and plant the seed of faith, it grows discernibly. We are invigorated as it enlightens and swells. We become our own internal auditors, confirming this increase in our faith. It is better to nourish our faith in what seems to be an ordinary process than to experience extraordinary things, only to stumble later over life's ordinary challenges. Close quote. The refining process of life can help us to be prepared to receive that word, to receive it in our hearts and give place for it to grow. And we see that Alma stops speaking to the other people and teaches those individuals who are prepared. He says, I behold that ye are lowly of heart, and if so, blessed are ye. He tells them that they are blessed because of this state that they are prepared in. John W. Welch said, quote, what might it mean to be lowly in heart? These poor Zoramite people were certainly economically disadvantaged and were already in a humble condition as measured by worldly wealth. However, Alma seems to be making a distinction between being humble and being lowly in heart. These people have been forced to be humble, and yet Alma assured them, I behold that ye are lowly in heart, and if so, blessed are ye. The poor Zoramites were bereft spiritually at first, but they were not hard-hearted, and hard-heartedness may be the opposite of being lowly in heart. Alma encouraged them by saying, blessed are the lowly of heart. That is, you'll be blessed if you are humble enough to go through this process of spiritual refinement and growth. Close quote. He then teaches them that it is a good thing that they've been cast out of the synagogue, that they are able to be now ready to receive the word. And as we continue in verse 13, it says, and now because ye are compelled to be humble, blessed are ye. For a man sometimes, if he is compelled to be humble, seeketh repentance, and now surely whosoever repenteth shall find mercy. And he that findeth mercy and endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. There is this process which allows an individual to seek change and desire change, and this repentance process enables that change to take place. As we go through these chapters, we'll talk a lot about repentance and the Lord's support and power to help people repent. And this repentance, we'll look at how immediate it can be as well. Whoever, and I just love this phrase, surely whoever, whosoever repenteth shall find mercy. It's a powerful principle, which I think that we forget so often is applicable to all of us at any moment, that we can all change at any time and desire to make that change and make steps in our lives to change. We have this quote from Robert R. Stewart, who says, quote, how do we ignite this power of divine instruction in our lives? First, we need to start with a willingness to be instructed. While many naturally hunger and thirst after righteousness, others may be compelled to be humble. Some of us, rather than follow instructions or change ourselves, would simply like to change the rules. Naaman certainly wanted to be rid of his leprous flesh, but he went away in rage when told by the prophet's messenger to simply wash 7 times in the river Jordan. It was inconvenient, a little thing, and he felt that the rivers in his land were better than those in Jordan. But his leprosy was cured as he listened to his servants, changed his mind, and did according to the saying of the man of God. We too must realize that God has governing laws and that his wisdom is greater than our own. Even Moses observed, after seeing God's majesty and workmanship, man is nothing, which thing I had never supposed. Close quote. We need to recognize that God's power is available in our lives, and that it does require us to make changes and to come close to him. And I think that this is the beginning of the process for these people, as they invite the seed into their hearts and give place for it to grow, as we'll learn about with the analogy that Owl will share with them in this chapter. Thank you so much for listening and sharing your time with us today, and until we meet again.